to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, it's another episode of Tell Al. What does that mean? Well, it means that we bring one of our members onto the show. And on today's show, not only have I brought a member on, I've also brought a mentor on. So you can understand the confusion in my lips as I was trying to get those words out. So what does that mean? Well, the gentleman on today's show basically was following a lifestyle similar to the one that I followed for many years, you know, just basically kind of going through the motions, not really focused on retirement itself, but just, you know, getting through life, doing the things that were important to him as he moved through life. And he got to the age of his early 50s and he realized that, you know, something wasn't working. Something wasn't getting him positioned for retirement. And I'll tell you what, it's that particular thing that occurred in his life that made him change directions. It made him start to look at things a little differently. Well, if we fast forward until today, what we find is that this gentleman decided to investigate real estate investing. And as a very skeptical person, he put a toe in the water and took a look at what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And, you know, nowadays he is a single family mentor and he spends the majority of his time working with members of Lifestyles Unlimited to help them with their single family investments. So let's see if we can fill in all the gaps that I just created for you by bringing Sorrell onto the show. Sorrell, are you there?
I am, Al. Thank you for having me today.
It is always a pleasure to have you on. You know, it's been a while since you and I have had an opportunity to chat.
It has been. It's been about 3 months. As a matter of fact, the last time we were on, this novel little thing about virus was being discussed, but it hadn't really hit yet.
Yeah, that's true. I do recall that. You know, I remember those days. You know, it was kind of like, okay, what's going on? What is government doing? What is this thing about social
right.
distancing and masks? And here we are in the middle of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not here to talk about the novel virus, the coronavirus, or whatever we're going to call that thing today. We're here to talk about you. And I'll tell you what, you've got such an interesting story about, you know, how you found yourself on the road to real estate. Could you go ahead and give us some background? I mean, what were you doing for a career? What was life like for you? And then what caused you to make that transition?
Sure. I was in sales most of my career. I spent over 35 years probably in sales of some sort. In sales, there's lots of ups and downs. You have great years where you make a lot of money, and you have bad years where you don't make much money. And I even had a couple of years, luckily spread apart, where I didn't really make any money. And I didn't save well. I was young, like a lot of young people today. I was young. I didn't save. I didn't think about retirement. That's you know, way down the road kind of a situation. And I also made the mistake of not saving during the really good years. I didn't save a lot for the upcoming bad years, even though I knew the ups and downs of sales. I didn't budget my money that well. So I rode the roller coaster of income through the sales career, and I wasn't a victim by any means. I made a really bad decision in August of 2001. Left a great job. It was a good job, and I thought I could do better. So I left there to go to another company that turned out to be a scam. And so I was unemployed when 9/11 happened, and I struggled for the rest of 2001 and well into 2002 financially and everything else. And so I ended up at the company where I retired from, where I spent a little over 13 years working there, and clawed my way through the corporate ladder and several promotions. But at the last either 6 or 7 years of my career there, I was a vice president. So I was at a very large sales organization, but I wasn't technically doing sales at that point.
So what was your retirement strategy during those years? I mean, you said you weren't saving, you weren't doing much of anything except probably having a good life. What exactly were you doing for retirement?
I was putting a little bit of money toward retirement. I didn't start it at 18 or 22 or anything like that. I started it in my mid to late 30s, I guess, and still not maximizing it or anything. And so as I started to slowly do that, and then when my financial problems hit in 2001 and 2002, the little I did have in it, I cashed it out along with selling my house and selling my car and getting a roommate and starting over again financially. And so I had no retirement at all in, 2002. And so I'm starting from ground zero. And that's when I got a good job and started making money again, started making a lot of money, actually, and started, aggressively saving. And that's when I kept hitting some roadblocks in my savings plans.
What kind of roadblocks were those?
Well, as I was working, after having basically nothing for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years earlier, I found out that I made too much money to contribute to a Roth IRA. That was one of my retirement strategies was the Roth IRA. And they told me I made too much money, so I couldn't contribute to that any longer. And then the next year or so, they told me that I went from nothing to now all of a sudden I'm a highly compensated employee and I can't contribute the max to my 401k at work. Something to do with the management level, the executive level or something like that can't contribute more than the average of the company. So they knocked me down from the maximum of 15% down to 8% or something. And then a couple of years later, even though I dropped my contribution, they told me I still contributed too much the previous year because the company average had dropped, and they gave me back a check for several $1,000s of what I'd already contributed the previous year.
And holy smokes. 3 or 4 years. Hey, we're going to break, and we'll be right back.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
With the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
So as we were going to break, Sorrell was telling us about how he was trying to fix his retirement shortfalls. He was trying to put money into a 401k. He was trying to use IRAs. He was trying to do anything that was within the permissions of the systems that are out there to try and get back on track, to try and get something that looked like a future for retirement. And he ran into a bunch of roadblocks. Sorrell, would you like to expand a little bit on some of those roadblocks that you ran into? Because I bet you that we have a lot of listeners out here that just have no idea of the perils that are potentially waiting for them.
Yeah, it was. I think I started to mention there were 3 or 4 different times that happened in about less than a 5-year period where even though I wanted to contribute more and catch up, within the legal limits of the system, they kept blocking me. The first one was that I made too much to contribute to an IRA. And then the next one was that I couldn't contribute as much as I could, even according to the normal percentages, because I was a executive, I guess, and highly compensated. So they dropped me down. And then the real kicker was when I dropped down, I contributed to what the max that they told me I could. And because the company average had dropped, they gave me back a check for over $3,000, I believe it was, that I contributed the previous year. This is right before the tax deadline in March or April. And so here's a check back for, $3,200 or whatever, and you owe taxes out of that because they weren't withheld when we took it out. So those are the kind of roadblocks I kept running into. And it's like, okay, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Now, were you looking at Social Security? I mean, was that part of your calculation for retirement?
I did look at that because by then I was, I was in my 50s, and I'm thinking, what will Social Security give me? And so I got a statement in the mail. I don't know if I'd gotten them previously and just didn't care about them. But during that time, I looked at one, and it shows you everything that from the day you started working. I guess I was 16. And it shows you every year how much you made and how much was taken off of Social Security. And then it gives you what the projected, and I think they can do this for any age, it gives you what the projected retirement is going to be at 62, full retirement age of 65 or 6, and then at 70 years old. And I started looking at that, and I'm thinking, if I had just contributed this exact same amount of money, and this was pre-real estate, so I was just thinking, put it in the stock market, and I was figuring a 5 to 7% rate of return, and the money I would have made a whole lot more doing it myself, consistently, which I hadn't been consistently investing retirement money, but had you consistently invested it, it would have been a whole lot more than what Social Security was projecting it to be.
So you're doing all the right things. I mean, you're doing exactly what the government tells you to do is for retirement.
But, yeah, I was doing it late, but I was doing it at that time right. Correct, I guess I should say.
And roadblock after roadblock after roadblock kept hitting you in the face. So what did you do? I mean, how did you transition from all of that? It had to have been frustrating on your part. How did you transition from that into where you're at now?
Well, the first step I took, because of the first thing I found out, was Dave Ramsey. And by then I didn't have a lot of debt. I was making good money. And so then the goal was to pay off my car, which didn't take but a few months, and pay off my house, which I was 1 year into a 15-year loan, so I was going to pay off my house in 6 years. And then I was going to, the Dave Ramsey way, save money and cash and buy a rental property, because that's all I knew about real estate. Dell lists all the real estate gurus that have classes that have kind of come and gone, but I didn't know any of those. I'd never done any of those programs. So I was going to save money, pay off my house, save money, and buy my first rental property and keep saving and buy another one and buy another one. And I was going to work for another 13 or 14 years until I was 70 years old and retire with a decent income, retirement income from real estate. And so that's the first plan I was on. And I was well into that. And it's funny, I found Lifestyles on the radio and joined immediately and started working toward that, but I had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other from those little cartoons. I had Dave on one shoulder, Dell on the other shoulder, because by then I was firmly into the no debt Dave Ramsey method. And to come to Lifestyles and be told about leverage and getting mortgages on these properties kind of freaked me out again, and so I had to reevaluate all that. But so I went from a 14-year plan to retirement to joining Lifestyles and being able to retire in 3.5 years. So I knocked 10 years or more off my retirement plan.
Did you think that you were going to get that kind of result as quickly as you achieved it?
Well, I'm a numbers guy, so I made a spreadsheet and to even decide to do it the Lifestyles way. And I had a 5-year goal to retirement. And I entered, like most people do, with a healthy dose of skepticism. And I thought, if this works, I can retire in 5 years rather than 13 or 14 years. If it doesn't work, I own a rent house that'll give me some cash flow. It may be too much of a hassle, but I can always sell it and get my money out of it. So I kind of entered it thinking, will it work? I don't know, but let's try it and let's see if it works. And worst case scenario, I'll own a rental house that I'll either keep or get rid of.
Yeah, the Dave Ramsey method, which is, pay all cash so that you don't have a mortgage, so that when you actually look at the returns that you're getting for the money invested, your returns are just terrible.
They are, yep.
So you took a chance on Lifestyles Unlimited. You came in. If I recall our conversations in the past, you went to one of our free workshops and you saw the light. You made a decision that evening to become a member.
I did. I came in, and again, knowing nothing about this, I came in, I heard everything. I was a little very skeptical about the leverage and putting mortgages on the properties, but I understood it. And I joined that same night, went to the very next 2-day, and joined at an upper level, a challenge level, to get the mentoring, because I needed mentoring because I knew nothing about this. So from the first time I ever heard Lifestyles on the radio, within a month, less than a month, I was a challenge member.
And how long did it take you to get into your first property?
Now, that took a little bit longer because of the leverage thing. Even after I joined, I was still very skeptical about the mortgages. And so it took me probably 4 months before I actually got a property. And it wasn't I was desperately looking for them. I just was not sure which way I wanted to go. And I was still evaluating, well, can I use the Lifestyles methods but still buy them in cash? So I was debating all that with myself. And so once I actually made a spreadsheet, and it's so funny, I looked at that spreadsheet a year or two ago, and it was if I stayed on the Dave Ramsey method or if I did the Del Wamsley method. And had I stayed on the Dave Ramsey method today, I would still be working at my job where I was working 55 to 60 hours a week, and I would have paid off my personal residence in May of 2019, and I would now be saving toward my first rental.
Hey, we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
And that's exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about Sorrell's map to financial freedom. You know, he did a lot of things wrong in his earlier years, you know, based on conventional wisdom when it comes to retirement. He probably didn't take it as seriously as most of us don't take it seriously because, you know, when you're younger and you're thinking, I'm in my 20s and my 30s, you know, your 60s are such a far, far place away. So, you know, you go through life doing the things that you're going to do. And then at a point you realize, okay, maybe I ought to start taking this a little bit more seriously. So Sorrell did that. And then he ran into all these roadblocks based on the fact that he made too much money to invest in all of these so-called retirement plans that the government puts forth for us. So, you know, he said, okay, fine. So you're not going to let me play in your game. Cool, I'll go do something else. So he stumbled across Dave Ramsey and basically got focused on the fact that, you know, Dave Ramsey teaches no debt. Get rid of all debt in your life. If you can get rid of all debt in your life, then you're going to be just fine. You're going to have money to do the things that you want to do. But the problem Sorrell had with that game plan is it had him working until literally the age of 70, and that didn't sit right with him. So he stumbled across Lifestyles Unlimited. He came in, became a member, and, you know, he still struggled to buy his first property because in the back of his mind, he kept thinking, I don't know if I can leverage property. I've got to do it the Dave Ramsey way. So, Sorrell, what finally occurred to break you out of that Dave Ramsey mindset and to get focused onto the mindset that we share today?
Yeah, Al, it was so funny. I had to, you know, being the detailed numbers guy that I am, I had to crunch the numbers. And I apologize if I said this earlier on the air. I know we talk and we have so much fun during the breaks. I don't remember what I said live and what I said to you.
But, me neither.
But I had to actually make a spreadsheet. Yeah. I actually had to make a spreadsheet, and it was a line down the middle. And if I did it Dave's way, or if I did it Lifestyles way, and had I done it, you know, stayed on the Dave Ramsey track, I would have paid off my mortgage for that original house. I've since sold that property. But had I stayed on the Dave Ramsey path, I would have paid off my mortgage in May of last year, May of 2019. And I would still be working today and 60 hours a week likely. And I probably would be saving toward buying my first rental in cash. And so that was on that spreadsheet. It actually had May of 2019. And then I looked at doing the Lifestyles way, and this was in 2013. And I figured I could retire in 5 years, which would have been 2018. Well, luckily, it turned out about a year and a half earlier than I retired in 2016. But when I saw that, I'm thinking, well, this works. Leverage works. This is the better way to do it. And I was still skeptical, and I thought if all else fails, because I would still be working at that time. I wasn't going to quit my job to be a real estate investor. And I thought if all else fails, I would have at least one rental house. I would think this program doesn't work, and then I would have, you know, one house, or I could either keep it or I could sell it and go do something else. But I chose it. When I made that spreadsheet, I made the decision to do it the Lifestyles way. And that took a couple of months of going, the spreadsheet didn't, but just making that decision. And so I decided to do it the Lifestyles way. And within a few weeks after that, I was under contract and bought my first property. That one got up and running. The cash flow was phenomenal. The numbers were different in 2013 than they are today, but the numbers were great. And then a few months after that one, I got a tenant in that one. I bought two more at the same time. I actually had two properties, you know, purchased and under rehab at the same time. And it was just go from that point.
Once you made up your mind, you went for it. You got out of analysis paralysis and got focused and took down three properties pretty quick. Did those three properties make a significant difference in your life?
You know, not financially yet, but the very first property made a significant difference in my life because I had been on that roller coaster ride for at least 10 years of the retirement plans. I went through a 2008 recession. I wasn't really much invested, you know, earlier in my life with the earlier recessions, but the 2008 recession hit me like everyone else, and it took me, you know, I didn't pull it out, so I rode it back up again, but that took 3 years just to get back to normal, and then I ran into all the problems of trying to invest in real estate. And so when I got that first property rented, and I got my very first rent check and paid my mortgage, and the difference, the cash flow, was $573. And that very first month, that very first cash flow was more than I had made in all of my money in my pocket, I would say, more than I'd made in all my time of trying to work toward retirement. And from that point, I saw the vision. And it was that's when I hit the pedal to the metal at that point.
Yeah, I just broke out Mr. Calculator, and basically, you know, you had given yourself an almost $7,000 a year raise with just one property. That's right. Incredible.
And my out of pocket for that property was like $17,000. So, in you know, two point two years, you know, I had 100% return back on what I had invested to get that property. Plus, I had equity when I bought the property on top of that.
Wow. So you were pulling down a 40% cash on cash return. Okay. Well, granted, those were 2013 numbers and, you know, the market right. has changed a little bit. But, you know, let me have you put your mentor hat on right now. What are we seeing in the current market? Are we seeing, you know, those kind of returns, or are they softened a little bit? Where exactly are we at?
They've definitely softened. In the Houston market today, the average out of pocket is about $23,000. And the average cash flow is about $385. So the numbers have definitely softened, and they've softened over the last few years. Now, this has nothing to do with COVID. The numbers haven't changed hardly at all because of COVID. There's a lot less properties on the market right now, but the returns are pretty much the same as they've been for the last year or so. But over the last few years, the numbers have softened from what they were in 2013.
Just based on that number, I mean, you're still getting a 20% cash on cash return, which, you know, yeah. I did a show yesterday and I was kind of talking about, you know, historic returns in the stock market and in the bond markets, because, you know, when people take all their money and they throw them into those, well, they basically give it to their financial planners to do with whatever they're going to do with it. That stock market's only returning about 10%. And the bond markets are returning like 5 to 6%. So, you know, real estate is still blowing it away. And like you said, we make money more than just the cash on cash returns. You get the equity capture, you get the tax benefits. I mean, it's just a compounding effect, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we make money not only five different ways, but we make money in up markets and down markets. I wasn't a member in 2008. I didn't have any real estate investments then, but, you know, there are stories of how Lifestyles members or real estate investors made a lot of money in the aftermath of, you know, the recession in 2008. You know, the interesting thing is that the stock market dropped 30% or so, the shutdowns and all that in I guess, late March or early April, and then it's climbing back up, you know, slowly, but actually quicker than a lot of people had anticipated. But you know, with all my rent, my single family homes, my multifamily investments, I did get a pause on one of my multifamily distributions, but all my single family homes are still paying. And as I mentor other people, I've talked to very few people who have tenants, residents that are not actually paying their rent. So So most members are still getting, and that's, you know, getting their rent. So my properties have not dropped in value. And so that, you know, the real estate is less affected by the whims of what's going on around us.
Yeah, it's, you know, that premise that people will always need a place to live and they're not willing to jeopardize that place to live still sounds true. Hey, when we come back from the break, Sorrell, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about our case studies. I know that you have a hand in those things, and we've got one coming up on the 16th of July. And for the members of our audience, if you would like to attend that virtual case study, send me an email at askal@luinc.com and I'll get you registered.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. On today's show, it is Tell Al, and I have Sorrell on with me. Sorrell not only is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, he's been a member since, I think, way back in 2013. He also transitioned a couple of years ago to becoming a mentor, and he did that because he wants to help other people achieve what he's achieved. So, Sorrell, what have you achieved? I mean, give me a quick rundown of your portfolio of investments that you currently hold.
Currently, I have 8 houses. I did have another one that I sold, but I have 8 houses, and I have 4 passive multifamily investments.
And these are all assets that you acquired that helped you to retire in that 3.5-year period.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my, source of my income, and it continues to grow. I mean, I'm in the process now where I'm looking for a couple more passive investments. I have some single family homes that I will probably either sell, probably 3 that I'll either sell or do cash out refis. And I'm more focused on multifamily, even though I'm a single family mentor, but I want to continue to grow the multifamily, but I may do a 1031 and buy, sell one and buy 2 more single family homes also.
So really, what you're working on now is you're working on the lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've always worked on the lifestyle. I just now have the time and the money to fully enjoy it.
So what are those things that are in the lifestyle that you do?
Well, my primary thing, my passion in life, and has been for many years, is I love to travel. I have started doing it when I was in my 20s and seeing the country, seeing the U.S., and then I branched down to a few countries. But I took that job, the one I retired from as a vice president, where I worked for 13 years, was at an online travel company. And there I had a lot of perks and benefits, plus I just did a lot of traveling. But now I've been to all 50 states and to 91 foreign countries. And so I'm just seeing the world, a bit at a time.
Did you just say 91 foreign countries?
I've been to 91 foreign countries, yes.
That is amazing. I mean, do you think that if you had continued on that Dave Ramsey mindset that you would be doing the things that you're doing now?
To some degree, yes. And I say the lucky part is, fortunate part is that I was working at a travel company. So I did a lot of that traveling because I was at that job. I probably went from 25 foreign countries to 75 during the 13 years I worked there, and then I've done another 20 since I retired in the past 4 years. But travel has always been a passion, so I still would be finding a way to travel, even if I was working a regular job, even if I was on the Dave Ramsey plant. Travel would be a part of it, but I've been able to do a lot more of it, and I've been able to do, you know, one of the things we talked about, both of our passions are scuba diving. I've done a lot of scuba diving, but I do zip lining and parasailing, and yeah, you name it. Pretty much anything around the water, I'm in it. And those are my hobbies. I'm an amateur photographer. I take just tons of pictures, and so I just get to do lots of the things I love now.
That's incredible. So tell me a little bit about case study. What is the case study event like from your perspective? I mean, what happens there?
So case study, what we do as mentors is we find members who have joined Lifestyles, follow the path, and they have a property that they've bought. It can be, and many times it's their first property. Sometimes they may have multiples. But then they work with us to set everything up. We do most of the heavy lifting behind the scenes. So for anybody that's listening that's a member, we encourage you to become a case study presenter. We're going to do all the work. We're going to set it all up, and then we're going to actually guide you through the actual event. But the event itself, and we do one a month in each of the Texas cities, and we have one this Thursday, which I will be one of the hosts of. But we have two single-family members who will be presenting a property that they bought and rehabbed it, got tenants in it, and now that property is cash flowing. So it helps new members and then prospectives like you have invited to send you an email. It helps them understand how this process works and how they too can be successful with single-family investing. And that's followed by a multifamily presenter also. So someone that's tuning into case study will see both forms of Lifestyles. They'll see the single-family side, and they will also see the multifamily side.
There's a concept out there, let me just throw it out, that people have to start in single-family in order to get into multifamily. Is that true? I mean, is there any hint of truth to it, or what's your perspective on that?
That is absolutely not true. It depends on where you come into it. It does take a little bit more money to invest in multifamily, and it takes a little more time for the cash flow to start, depending on what money you need. Like I mentioned, within, you know, probably less than 60 days of buying my first single-family home, I was getting a monthly cash flow of $573. That doesn't happen in multifamily. So it depends on where you are and what your goals are. And it's one of the things we do, even when you first join, we figure out where you are today, where you want to get to, and then we help lay out the plan, the roadmap to get you from point A to point B. And so people coming in with, you know, a little bit of money, they can buy one single-family home. People coming in with more money can buy two single-family homes. People coming in with even more money can become a passive investor in multifamily. Or someone can come in and become an independent. They can buy their own multifamily home and take off running from day one owning a multifamily home, multifamily property. And we've seen all that through a case study. We've seen people who own their first property, a multifamily property, and it's an independent property they own themselves. So, you know, you can do any of those things. And Dell and David Fisher and all the other, Greg and all the presenters of the 2-day, they talk about where you are today and what's the best step for you. But absolutely, people can come in and go straight to multifamily if they have the money to do it, and that's their goal, and the timeline works for them. And Lifestyles helps you determine that, all of that.
You know, I've had the opportunity to interview some of our fellow members, and in this particular instance, one of the members I was interviewing was focused on multifamily. They had built a pretty decent portfolio. I think they said something like 24 passive investments in different multifamily properties. But then they had an epiphany. They decided that they wanted to invest into a couple of single family houses, specifically because they kind of felt like, you know, they wanted to have their hands in the investment process a little bit more. Do you run into members like that?
Definitely. Pretty much every week I talk to one or two to five preferred members who already have passive investments, and they want to do single family. Some of them, you know, they're maybe retired. They want to, like you say, get their hands into it. Others, they have passive investments, but they haven't started to pay the dividends yet, the cash flow that they need from it, and they want to build some cash flow. We have many people who start in multifamily and then buy a few single-family homes. I personally, other mentors may have done this, but I have yet to meet a multifamily preferred member who has independent multifamily properties that then buy single-family homes. That may happen. I just haven't personally run into one of those. But I talk to people every week that are passive investors that buy single-family homes.
What's the big difference between single-family and multifamily investments?
Single-family, the primary thing is you get more, you get quicker cash flow. And when I started, I probably could have gone, well, I know now I definitely could. But at the time when I was looking at it, at that time I thought I probably could have gone to multifamily. But I wouldn't have got the cash flow started that I would needed, that I was working toward a definite income goal for retirement. So I chose to start with single family. I did buy my first multifamily passive before I retired, but that was my reasoning for it. Multifamily, David and Dell both teach that, you know, the highest and best use of your money is in multifamily. You have the ability to double your money every 2 to 3 years. There's many advantages to multifamily. And many single family investors, their goal is to get enough single family, get the income they need, get their equity, and then sell and move into multifamily. So that's kind of the goal for most. The biggest difference is single family gives you more cash flow, immediate cash flow, and multifamily builds your net worth.
Well said. Well stated. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. What would you say to somebody that's listening to us that's still on the fence as to whether or not we're the direction they should go?
Just like I came into this with skepticism, get on those case studies and go and look at that free workshop. And your real estate has 5 ways that you make money compared to 1 way you can make money in the stock market and in retirement plans. And if you're skeptical and you're like me, make a spreadsheet, put a pencil to paper, and look at what you can make in the stock market. So with average returns, with good returns, and the ups and downs of riding that market, and look at the way that the real estate just consistently makes money in good times, good markets, and in bad markets.
Well, we're out of time, Sorrell. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And remember, send me an email at askal@luinc.com if you want to be at our recent case study.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.